This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart, and I am thrilled to be with you during this noon hour here between Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly lies Brent and Dave for your local talk. And thanks for tuning in. We appreciate you sharing your lunch hour with us. We are here for your local talk every Monday through Friday to focus on issues affecting Salem and Kaiser and the Marion and Polk counties, things that affect your quality of life, things that affect your pocketbook, things of interest, and things that are fun, too. Hey, Dave.
Absolutely.
It's bit chilly out there. Now,
it is. It just went like that.
Yeah. I still maintain that September and October are fabulous months in the Mid-Valley.
They're not bad.
Yeah. And it gets a little bit cooler, but the weatherman did say we're about, all week this week, we're about five degrees short of average.
Five degrees. It feels like 10.
Yeah. And so that normally we're closer to 70, and now we're in the mid to low 60s. That's about 5 degrees off. Anyway.
Frost this morning.
Autumn is here. It's football weather.
True.
Hey, we got to get those Duck pregame folks on here to spotlight their show sometime and interview them on Newsmakers. But today, of more importance, we have Mayor Chuck Bennett here in the studio with us, and we're going to talk to him for till the bottom of the hour. We're also going to be talking about ice cream before the hour is out, so please stick with us. Mayor Chuck Bennett, thank you as always for being with us.
Oh, absolutely.
What's really on your mind today?
Well, not a whole bunch. I do want to do a quick shout out because I attended an event this weekend that I thought was particularly good one. Dave Summers over at Vantage Heating and Cooling had his event. He's been talking about it quite a bit. I've had ads and public service announcements and all kinds of things about it. Donated about $28,000 from employees, suppliers, and customers they'd raised, and it was donated to first responders from Salem and Kaiser. And I got to tell you, number one, it was just a great event. Really, really nice people. And number two, the group they gave it to, our first responders, I think sometimes people don't realize a lot of what goes on in first responders, that's police, fire, goes on because of various foundations. We have a police in Salem, a police and a fire department, fire foundation. These funds that are raised, like the funds they raised at Advantage and donated, are used for a variety of things. I think CPR classes for third graders is, I think it was third graders.
Somebody's going to know how to do it.
Yeah, right? Well, and you know what? Their goal, Chief Niblock in Salem, has set as a goal. Virtually every kid who graduates from high school in Salem is going to know, really from junior high in Salem, is going to know how to save your life if you go down with a heart attack, and CPR will revive you. And the police department has been using, they showed a film of it, a very funky setup for training, particularly for kind of confrontational training with potential folks who are having troubles with the police. They are purchasing a state-of-the-art responsive training center, and part of the funding will go for that. And it'll be in the new police station. But this is sort of like a video game on steroids from what they showed us. It's pretty amazing.
Nice.
So it was really a very special day.
That is great.
Did you hear what Kaiser Fire is going to do?
Yes, but I can't remember.
Oh, I'll tell you.
You know that.
Yeah. Kaiser Fire, they're going to take the money that they got from Advantage Heating and Cooling, and they're going to buy smoke detectors. And Advantage Heating and Cooling is going to install them. They're going to go door to door to make sure you have a smoke detector in your house in Kaiser. Wow. And if you don't, they will install it for free.
So the houses still exist that don't have smoke detectors?
Oh, yeah. Some of the older ones, yeah. Sure.
Wow.
Yeah, that I'm glad you mentioned that. I thought that was a great program.
That is great.
Really, really good job.
Every house should have at least one.
Yeah.
And now they make those little 9-volt batteries. They make them with 10-year battery lives.
Right?
Really?
So, yeah. So like every 18 months or something, you don't suffer through
the beeping yeah. in the middle of the night. Yeah, why do they always go off in the middle of the night?
I was just going to ask that because that happened to me, too.
Never at 10 a.m. It's never
never in the daytime.
Not when you're awake. It's 2 a.m. Yep. and it starts chirping.
That is great. They all got those checks. We had Dan on Newsmakers on Friday, and he would not steal the thunder for the first responders on their announcement and what they're spending it on.
Yeah, he deserves some thunder. That guy, he's a... Number one, he's just an extraordinarily nice guy. Number two, they're very, very good at what they do. I can tell you just personally, I know this. And number three, they're giving to a cause that you just can't underestimate how important it is to them and how important it is to the communities that are served by first responders. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's real good. Kudos.
I was surprised at how many units they sold because it was X number of dollars per unit. Of course, they got a match, but they must have been busy this summer because they only did it for a couple of months, right?
It was kind of warm, wasn't it?
And yeah, I mean, people, I guess it was air conditioning season, but yeah, it was great. It's that many people bought, or as the mayor said, may have just contributed to the cause, and it was nice to have the out-of-state manufacturer,
yes,
a USA manufacturer at that, match it.
Right.
So when you're gifting, always take an opportunity and look and see if the company you work for will match your gift and double the effect you have in the community.
Impressive.
Yeah, it was very good.
Another good thing, Mayor. Let's talk about another good thing.
Okay.
How about that construction by the creek heading out to the park, at Riverview Park, Riverfront Park?
That is, if folks haven't seen this, you've missed a really interesting project that's been going on for a number of months now. It is tearing out all of the concrete that's pretty much left over from the old Boise Cascade site, or mm-hmm. Boise Cascade site, the old box plant. And that's all being removed, and it is being, or has been removed, and it's all being sloped and essentially returned to its natural state. And it is stunning. It really is surprising what it looks like with no concrete over the top of it. It's a part of a long-term project that has included the South Park block, those apartments that went in mm-hmm. where the old plant used to be. And then across the way is T.J. Sullivan's building, Park Block.
Yeah, the Parkfront building.
And that's gone in, and there's a new building being sort of designed, I think, for the other area, and we're kind of waiting to see what that one looks like. So far, Meridian Company has been looking at sort of a housing and therapy building there, and we're kind of waiting to see where that's going. So, yeah, that is really worth going to take a look. I am convinced after seeing that we are going to someday again see salmon going back up Mill Creek and Pringle Creek.
We talked to the project manager that was doing all that, demoing all that cement and taking all the stuff out right here on Newsmakers. It was pretty wild.
And just recently, we haven't gone, folks. So if you're going downtown, you're going to have lunch at Bentley's or a beverage or beverage at Magoo's you're having your bike fixed at Scott's. I mean, that's the neighborhood right there. Just take a little time and walk across the street and just stare at what they're doing. What it looks like today compared to 2 weeks ago is amazing, because now they've taken the creek where it was going through and they've rechanneled it to the channel they created.
Yeah.
And so you have this daylighting process where it's no longer covered by a culvert or dirt or a building, and it sees daylight, and now they've channeled it and broadened it. It's very cool.
It is. It is. And this is part of an ongoing project. We'll next be completing a trail down to Riverfront Park in that general area, and a bridge, a swing bridge or some other kind of a suspended bridge that you'll be able to walk essentially from 12th Street all the way down Mill and Pringle Creek to Riverfront Park and across into Minto. It's going to be really quite amazing. We're talking additional several miles, and then there will be a linear park that comes out of Bush Park that connects to that along the west side of the hospital grounds there, where there's kind of a playground that was put in. That will become even an additional continuation. So you'll be able really to go into Bush Park or go into the Willamette campus or the Capitol Mall and come all the way down to Riverfront Park, then to the either Wallace Marine or Minto or the whole bunch. I mean, we're talking miles.
Well, if I was a runner, I'd be loving that.
Well, runner, walker, biker.
Limper.
Limper.
All right.
There you go.
We're going to have to take a break here, but this is historic time, so stick with us. We're talking to Mayor Chuck Bennett of the City of Salem with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. We're talking local stuff with the local mayor. All of this stuff that Rush Limbaugh and all the other broadcasters on the national scale are talking about, we're going to ignore that. We're pretending that's not happening because we're talking about great things happening
well,
here
I like that
in Salem.
It's not happening.
We're not here on Newsmakers. We're going to talk about great things. We were talking before the break about the daylighting of the creek there just off of Commercial Street between Commercial and Riverfront Park. It looks fabulous, and I'm hoping somebody's taking a picture every day, every week, and have that in stages as a project.
I think they have. I'm not sure. Somebody has. I think T.J. Sullivan has. He's been following that real closely.
And then within another addition of a commercial building, hopefully just to the north of that, that whole half block will be kind of be complete. And, you know, and folks, this is historic times as far as what's happening to the development and the maturation of downtown Salem. So it must be a very exciting time to be mayor, huh, Chuck?
It is a very exciting time to be mayor. In fact, I was just mentioning to you, I want to let folks know there's going to be a groundbreaking at 260 State Street. That's that old, the corner where McMahon Furniture and Les Newman, depending on how you remember the buildings there.
Depending on how old you are.
Yeah, old you are. Yeah, it's State and Commercial. And that has been vacant now for 10 years maybe. Mm-hmm. There is a new apartment building going in. It's called the Nishioka Building, and which is named for the local owners of the site. And it's being developed by Koz Development Team, K-O-Z, and it's going to be, I believe, and I hope I'm saying this right, about 140 apartment units. They're efficiency apartments. They're aiming at folks who are looking for smaller apartment space, probably walking to work, riding bikes. It's really for downtown urban dwellers, although I think they'll probably take anybody. I know they're interested in students. They're interested in housing for legislators, lobbyists, legislative staff, state staff, people who are here for that kind of
extended
work.
Stay, yeah.
Yeah,
you just mentioned it. I hadn't thought, but grad students at Willamette?
Yeah, it's going to
be a great little spot.
Oh, really nice.
Or even workforce, the people that work at the mall.
It's affordable apartments. They're small, but affordable. They tend to be one-bedroom, sort of single-occupancy style, is my understanding. I think it's going to be very exciting. I think people are going to really enjoy this.
I can't wait.
Okay. Need to interject. I had a question from a caller.
Yeah.
Instead of putting them on, it would have taken a little bit longer. But we were talking about apartments. Apparently in West Salem, there is an apartment complex going up for 600 units.
Wow. Really?
And he wanted to know if there was any thought going into the traffic situation that that's going to create.
Yeah, this is kind of bad news for that caller. On these various land use issues, we just don't comment on them. We're not really well informed on them until we have a public hearing. I assume that is in front of the Planning Commission or planning administrator, and will come to the council at a future date. State law just doesn't let us, because we serve in a kind of judge-like capacity. If people appeal it, or if the council wants to call it up and review it, we're supposed to look at that without prejudging the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good for everybody. But I'm not totally aware of what exactly is going on. I've heard that there's something going on over there, but I haven't really looked at it yet. It's really too early for me to get involved yet.
Yeah, he was worried about not only the parking situation,
but also
the traffic situation that it's going to create coming over.
Well, what he should do is follow this closely. Be sure whenever there's an opportunity to testify at a public hearing, he goes in and asks, what's going on here? What are the plans here? Where are you going with all this traffic? And certainly any development in West Salem right now, I think should be questioned for traffic because of the problems on Wallace, the failure of the city to proceed forward with a third bridge.
Absolutely.
I think when you look at it, people ought to be, and I know are, because they contact me a lot about the traffic problems, and rightly so, need to be concerned. So I sure understand what he's saying. I just can't really get into it right now.
Yeah. Well, for him, Mayor, you would have him call if he wants to know where the meetings are, what to attend. They should call community development, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Call the city of Salem, ask for community development, and say you're inquiring about this specific thing, and get on a list. You can get on the list of people to be notified when there's a public hearing, right, and when there's action on the things. And so I would encourage you to do that. And like the mayor says, go down and talk about it and bring 10 friends.
Yeah, and it's 503-588-6173 is, I believe, the phone number for them.
So this is going to play into our next topic, is that you've declared a vacancy, of course, for Ward 7, which does not include West Salem. But there will be a new counselor appointed to that. And right now, the no on the bridge people still have 5 votes, right? Would you anticipate they're going to look for somebody?
Yeah.
Well, they will have 5.
They will have 5. I'm sorry, you had 6, yeah.
And so with the vacancy, you still have a majority of votes. And imagine that those votes will swing to appoint a person who is also no on the river crossing.
I don't know. Nobody has said that to me. I would.
And they tell you everything.
They do. They call me. They call me each evening to tell me what they're thinking.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah. No, it doesn't quite work that way. But I'm sure that will be one issue that will be of interest. The Costco property out on Kubler Road, I suspect, will be the kind of issue where there's been some division on the council. They're controversial issues. But more than that, I believe councilors will be looking for are people who have some experience with city government, with the city, serving on a board or a commission or some involvement. Be involved in their neighborhood groups, know their neighborhoods, know their ward, and have lived in the city longer than a year. So hopefully, I'd like to see even longer than that. I think to have a sense of where we're coming from and where we're going in this city and what the issues are like. Now, agree or disagree, there may be counselors who will do litmus tests, they call them, I think, most commonly. I don't do that. I don't plan on doing that. I'll be surprised if a majority of the council does it. But then there's always surprises out there.
I will not be surprised. I will not be surprised. And I honestly, I'd like to think that these individuals that are serving our city have functioning brains that are rational and they can think through things. And at the Costco, there's just no more legs to stand on.
Yeah.
That they made an emotional or politically convenient decision. But when it comes to the law and the findings of fact and the criteria on which they are forced to judge by state law, they really just, this is not really a matter of opinion, is it?
No.
So that's one of the things that as it comes back to the city council after the lawsuits, the law is going to determine. It's not going to be their political bent, right?
I mean, I that think at it, this point we're headed into legal. As you know, there's a lawsuit for $10 million against the city. Mm-hmm. LUBA has sent it back to this Land Use Board of Appeals, has sent it back to the city to review it. So there's a batch of, you're correct, there's a lot of law at work here. A lot of lawyers at work.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a better way to put it.
So if you have a faction that, and there's going to be one litmus test, I think it's going to be that third river crossing.
Yeah. Big time.
Second, as the mayor would say, because he only counts the two bridges as one crossing, just one in each direction.
Really? It's two, but.
And the mayor, you know, we want to get the mayor's quote right, because he's not saying we need one more river crossing. He's been saying for a long time, we need two or three or four.
We do. We really should be serious. A city our size, second largest city in the state, to have really one river crossing system, and that we are the bottleneck between the coast and everything west of us and everything east of us. Highway 22.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
To me, is just, it's an untenable situation that will be solved. So far I've watched it for a couple of generations. I'm just sad to think it'll be another generation or two before it gets finally addressed. And then there's the folks of, I want that bridge, but I don't want it there. And that's the most cynical thing I've heard. There are no other places. It doesn't work that way, and they know it.
Yeah. So they got to get a couple more in there easily. Yeah. And the Wheatland Ferry needs to be replaced with a bridge.
Well, probably.
I think so.
That's okay, but I'll tell you right now, that'll be a harder sell than
here?
The current one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and we had Commissioner San Brentano on last month, just a few weeks ago, actually. He was saying he brought that up, and it's going to have a lot of, the farm industry and the farm people out in that area really don't want all that traffic going through there. And so that's going to be an issue if the one river crossing is along Wheatland.
Yeah.
And it increases
This is the right spot.
I agree with that. It's just that, you need two or three more bridges here just to relieve some of that congestion, because everybody is forced to go through downtown.
Yeah. Well, it's one that we will continue to work on.
Yeah.
So. All right. We're going to have to let the mayor go. We're going to continue to talk about things happening in the city of Salem after the break. I want to thank the caller for the questions.
Yeah,
yeah,
you
really,
weigh in if
that
you got
was a very good question.
Question for us, 503-393-1430. We're going to continue along this before we start to talk about ice cream and let you know about a couple of things about how the city works. Stick with us. We're I'm Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN.
Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. I want to thank Mayor Chuck Bennett of the City of Salem stopping by and talking about some of the issues and the good issues, some good stuff.
There's mostly good stuff going on. Come on.
Ugly, nasty stuff happening all over the nation. It's all over the world. We get to talk about some good things happening here in Salem-Keizer, not the least of which is that opening of the creek out there at Commercial, and that is where Front Street becomes Trade or something like that. I feel sorry, and I want to thank you guys if you're living in South Block Apartments and you're living on the north side, because you get all that construction noise.
Yeah, right.
So I want to thank you for living through all of that so that we can all have a more pleasant downtown. Eventually, the construction will end, and you'll have this creek front view. And so thank you for living through that. I hope you got a little bit of a rent break there. But it's one of the things about living downtown. You have to anticipate traffic noise, construction noise, and things like that.
Always improvements.
It's a trade-off.
Yeah.
All right, a couple things, folks. I want you to understand we were getting into some of the processes, and thanks to one of our callers, about 600 units of apartments going into West Salem, and where are the considerations for the parking and the traffic?
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, in development code, those things are taken into effect, but they can't change the comprehensive plan. They can't change the transportation plan. So if you're a regular listener to Newsmakers, you get where I'm going here. All these things are now tied to our Salem and what's going on right now. And are we going to plan for the number of people who are going to live inside a boundary for the next 30 or 40 years? And are we going to plan for all of them to go on scooters? Right? Are they all going to ride little tricycles, or are a bunch of them going to have cars? So I want to make sure everyone understands this whole public hearing things and how the process works. So Dave Bourne is here, and he's going to build 600 units of housing, and he's applying for a permit, and he may go through a process with the staff. However, if Dave Bourne is building them in an area that's zoned for multifamily, for high-density multifamily, and he does the appropriate setbacks, and he does the appropriate open space, and he does the appropriate design standards, and he does the appropriate transportation improvements with curbs and curb cuts and entrances and egress, all of those things, it's no longer a political decision, and your counselor can't do anything about it.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
If they're applying... Now, say Dave's not building them. He's trying to apply to create the space, and he's developing the land to do this, and he wants it approved for multifamily housing. That may go before the Planning Commission. Folks, if you're going to sit on one influential committee of the City of Salem, it's the Planning Commission or the Budget Committee, right? Mm-hmm. Probably edge to the Planning Commission. And so if you have an interest in all of this and how the city is planned out, then that might be where you turn in your volunteer app. So that goes before the Planning Commission, and they will look at the staff recommendations. It's already been through a staff process, and they've evaluated the law, and da-da-da-da. And staff will set, hey, I think that Dave Bourne needs to provide a grove of trees. I think Dave Bourne needs to provide some of his land towards open space. I need
park.
And those are conditions.
Yeah, so park area.
A park area.
Yeah.
So those are the conditions, and that will happen in the application phase. Right? You with me? So the application phase, and staff will recommend, hey, we recommend you approve Dave's application with these concessions that
right.
He will provide a stop sign at the end of the street. He'll install his own stop light or whatever the transportation, park, sewer, water, roads, all of those things in consideration. And the Planning Commission can approve or deny it. So it could go through staff, go through the Planning Commission, they approve it, and it just happens. And the city council will never see it, as Mayor Bennett was just talking about. There's no reason for them to see it. There's a process, and it's been they're complying. It's only when there's controversy that it gets appealed and perhaps gets appealed, and the city council looks at it.
And there's no controversy except that there's no traffic easement because it was shot down for the third bridge.
Yeah. So to the caller's point, pay attention. What you really have to do right now is pay attention as you're voting in the spring. Kara Kaser, Ward 1, represents part of West Salem, and she's a no on the river crossing. Inconceivable.
Does she live over there?
No, she lives on the east side of the bridge.
Well, that would be why.
And
she doesn't feel their pain. She represents them. But she doesn't feel their pain.
No, she represents a contingent of believers that we're all going to be extinct in 2035 unless all of us get out of our cars.
Or we're all going to be swimming across the river.
Any infrastructure that makes it easier for us to utilize a vehicle is wrong. So she needs to be replaced.
Yes.
And you should get whatever voters live in her district in West Salem, it better be 100% somebody else.
Yeah.
Or anybody but. You can just check that mark. All right, so that's the public hearings process. And then, as the mayor was talking about, sometimes they do see it. Now, a counselor, let's say, I don't like what the planning... Sam, I'm a city councilor, and I don't like the Planning Commission's decision. I can call it up for a review of the city council. And I can state my case and see that I want to have it overturned, the Planning Commission judgment. Or in the case that it was on the agenda last week, there was a case, again, in Kara Kaser's ward, where somebody had applied to do a threeplex or, you know, three-unit housing in a zone that permitted him to build no less than three, and the neighbors weren't happy. And so they were complaining, and it got appealed to the city council. And so that, and
he won because he was in his own correct zone, right?
He won because there's nothing wrong with what he was doing.
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
he was just complying with, I mean, it's not like they make it up every time you go a building permit. All those things are in code. So he was building three units on an area that he had to build a minimum of three units.
Minimum of three.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's building the smallest amount.
He could have built a 12 units building there.
And right? In an era where the state is forcing cities to increase in the density in residential areas, all right. These things, there was just nothing wrong with the application. There was just nothing wrong. Neighbors just didn't like it.
Right.
Goes back to, if you don't like what's happening or it's planned for a specific piece of land, then you need to buy it. You don't just get to say, well, they shouldn't be able to do that with their land. They shouldn't be able to do that.
It's their land.
Yeah, it's their land, and you don't get to decide.
You do what you want on your land.
You don't get to decide what color
your neighbor's car is, or their house, or their barn.
So that got shut down. He got approved. It was approved by the Planning Commission, and it was upheld by the City Council. Interesting fact, though, is that Councilor Kayser recused herself of a decision.
What?
From the decision.
Why would she do that?
We can only conjecture, which I do a fair bit of, but I'm not going to here. My criticism is going to be, you should have had more courage than that.
Want him to come back and bite her is what she's... Why she did
right,
that.
I didn't want to make anybody unhappy with her because maybe she wants to hold on to her seat. Who knows? Maybe she won't run again in the spring.
Yeah,
she's been there
know.
4 years. And, once you find out that it's not about stopping Trump, you don't find out it's not about global warming or anything like that, it might be too perfunctory for which her Save the Earth, grandiose ideas might have been.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know.
The caller's, too, his point was, did they take into consideration the problem that might be with the parking as well? And I'm sure that they have parking at the 600 apartment complex. That's a lot of cars.
They do have parking standards.
They do.
And you have to have X number of parking spaces per unit.
I think
plus
it's
X,
two.
That would surprise me, but I think they'd have to have one per unit. And I don't know. So this is conjecture. Maybe we get a city planner on.
I hated apartment living because I had to pay for my parking.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
You're renting that too.
That's ridiculous. But
anyway, there are design standards, and you have to have a certain prescribed amount of parking, no more, or you can have more, but not less. And so there will be, and I think this development that the mayor was talking about downtown at the Nishioka property, that's received an exception, right? Because they're doing the micro apartments.
Right.
And so they're not providing the parking. And that, I'm sure, had to go through a variance type of process. So there one more thing here, but we don't have time for. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll talk next time about revenue bonds for the hospital and how that ends up on a city council agenda, where Salem Hospital, which is a private entity, gets to issue bonds that are backed by the city and get favorable tax treatment. Pretty interesting stuff. But in the meantime, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk about breast cancer and ice cream. What the heck is that about? Well, stay tuned to find out. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. We are joined for our final segment today by Tina from Umpqua Dairy. She's the director of marketing, and we're going to talk about breast cancer and Umpqua Dairy's Huckleberry Cheesecake.
Which I'm hungry for now, Jill.
Tina, welcome to the show. Tina, are you with us? Uh-oh. All right, I'll start till our producer here gets everything set up so we can talk to Tina on the phone. Yeah. Tina's...
Hello.
Oh, there she is. Just required an extra button or two.
Somebody pushed the wrong button on the phone.
It was probably me. Sorry.
Well, welcome. It's nice to have you on the show.
So thank you. I appreciate it.
Helping market Umpqua Dairy. I want you to, before we get into your thing, I got to tell you, the mayor, while he was here, said you guys had the best ice cream in the world.
Well, I totally agree with him.
Loves your product.
We have an award that even says so, which is amazing.
Wow.
When did that happen?
Actually, that just happened a month or so ago. We were awarded, the World Dairy Expo was awarded our Better Toffee Crunch Best of the Best.
Wow.
Oh,
I'll have to get
some of that.
That's what I'm having
for
dinner.
Well, you know what? And the thing is, it's out of inventory right now. So we're bringing it back in January. So hope to build that excitement for you guys. It is amazing.
All right. Well, tell us what you're doing with breast cancer research.
So for the month of October, what we have done is released our Huckleberry Cheesecake ice cream. And that's in conjunction with the Susan G. Komen Foundation. And we donate a portion of the proceeds of every sale of the carton of that ice cream back to the foundation. The great thing about it is we do this based on regional sales so that the local affiliates of where people are buying this ice cream are getting that back. You know, so if it's bought in the Portland area, then it's going to go back to that that Portland affiliate. So we're really excited about that because we can really reach a lot of different organizations around the area and support the local communities.
Well, it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so we're going to see football players and everybody else wearing pink this month.
Yep.
This ice cream is pink.
Right? What?
It is a pink
ice
cream.
It's got pink in it, yep. And the carton is pink, which is actually, you know, an offshoot of what our normal cartons are, so it's very distinctive.
All right, where do you make this ice cream?
We are in Roseburg, Oregon, so that is where all of our Umpqua Dairy products are produced.
That is so great. All right, so you've been doing this, and by you, I mean Umpqua Dairy, because Tina, you represent Umpqua Dairy.
That's right.
1931.
Wow.
Down there in Southern Oregon, that is pretty amazing.
Third generation company, yeah.
Wow, is it privately held and everything?
It is.
Holy cow, yep. What a great Oregon story. And you have a history of giving back and donating?
We do. We really believe strongly in donating our time, products, money to as many organizations as is feasible, obviously. And our employees do so as well with their own time and volunteering and that kind of thing. And it's just one of those things that we feel strongly about. And with, you know, partnering with the Susan G. Komen Foundation, it was a way for us to reach a larger area that has the infrastructure to get the word out, to make sure that all of those local organizations, even if they're in less populated areas, would be able to benefit from this fundraiser.
And we're talking to Tina. Is it Yoakum? Tina Yoakum from Umpqua Dairy about their efforts to raise money for breast cancer research. How much money did you raise last year?
Last year, we raised $9,716. Nice. We've been doing this for 4 years now. And so, grand total, we've done almost $37,000 that we've been able to donate back to the Susan G. Komen Foundation.
So for our listener right now, they need to change so they add one more stop on their drive today to pick up some ice cream and bring it home and say, hey, to the spouse, hey, I'm just fighting cancer, so we're going to have ice cream.
That's
hey, everybody put
furthering education.
Huckleberry cheesecake and say, it's our obligation.
And a good movie.
To eat this huckleberry cheesecake.
It's a great excuse.
That is awesome. All right. Well, Dave, I know Dave has a question for you about some of your special flavors in the fall.
Yeah, you have a lot of special flavors at Umpqua, including duck tracks.
Yes,
and that continues, right?
It does, and it will continue. Duck tracks is one of our favorite flavors, as well as zebra tracks. But duck tracks is a big seller, and you know that is something that we will keep around, especially during football season, to have available. It's a favorite, for sure.
It's not around all year long, though.
It isn't. Usually when we have these seasonal flavors, they usually have them for about three months. With the duck tracks, we do keep that out a little bit longer. So you'll probably see that through November, December, and sometimes into the first of the year. So then they'll phase them out so we can bring new flavors back.
Tina, did you happen to notice that Dave was just going to float that out there and mention the duck tracks as if the beaver tracks didn't even exist?
I wasn't going to let that stand. You know, you have to be fair on the plugs here.
I just took off my OSU dad sweatshirt, too, and he has the audacity to do that to us. And so duck tracks and beaver track flavors.
All right, and beaver tracks.
So gotta be able to get
all
both.
All right.
That's a really fun ice cream to have. And
it is.
What do you have in your freezer? Duck tracks or beaver tracks?
I don't even know if I want to say this. Okay, so I have a ice cream freezer that is dedicated to nothing but ice cream. So nice. I honestly have probably 10 flavors in there.
Wow. 10?
You must be popular with your friends. Why don't we go to hang out in Tina's today?
Yeah.
I know.
That'd be quite a drive.
Part of my job, I should be able to research and know.
Do you have like 8 kids?
Well, I do.
She watches a lot of good movies.
It's research. It is career research. That's what it is.
I love it. You know, you're so dedicated to your job. Tina Joachim, Umpqua Dairy Director of Marketing, talking to us about their Huckleberry Cheesecake. Are you going to run out of this, too? Is there going to be plenty to go around all month?
We should have enough to cover us through November, I would expect. We actually did up our production this year to make sure that we had enough to cover us for these, 3 months-ish.
Have you fulfilled your responsibility and tasted the Huckleberry Cheesecake for us? Do you know what it is? Can you describe it for us?
Yeah, describe it.
Describe it for you?
Yeah, what's in it?
It is it's a cheesecake ice cream, so cheesecake-flavored ice cream that is swirled with a huckleberry variegate, and then it has graham cracker-crusted cheesecake bites sprinkled throughout it.
Oh, you're not nice.
You have to do that to Dave. He hasn't had lunch yet.
Oh.
That is a perfect opportunity for lunch. It's got, the basic food groups there.
All of them, yeah. Berries and
fruit.
Yeah.
Grains. We'll call the graham cracker crust.
Yeah. Grains. It's got milk, cheese.
See, absolutely. It's sort of well-rounded.
Sure, yeah. A round container. And me round.
Uh-huh, I was going to say.
Jeez.
I had no idea.
That's what I keep telling myself, guys.
I learned so many things in the last 5 minutes, Tina. I didn't know about Umpqua Dairy. I didn't know it was a third-generation Oregon company, privately owned, which is awesome. Yeah. I love to hear that. And I didn't know you had seasonal flavors either. I guess I recognize that sometimes some things are there, not always. So any other flavors I should look forward to through the winter?
You should. Uh-oh. Well, outside of the duck tracks and the beaver tracks, we've got, I believe, pumpkin pie coming out here.
Yes.
Which is wonderful as well. And then for the holiday season, we'll be bringing back peppermint candy.
Oh, yeah.
Peppermint candy. Mm. But we have to wait for that award-winning one, right?
The award-winning one will be released in January. So
what's the name of that one again?
Probably start looking at it mid-December and that kind of thing for it to be coming back.
That was chocolate chunk or something crazy.
What's the name of it?
Butter Toffee Crunch.
Oh,
That's
a good one. I have had that one.
All right, we're going to have to let you go. But everybody, Tina, she says... Yeah. Buy some Umpqua Dairy's Huckleberry Cheesecake because it goes to cancer research. It's our obligation to help stomp out breast cancer by making ourselves fat. So go eat some more ice cream. Turn on the fire. It's a great feeling for the winter.
She liked that one.
And the money.
Happy.
Supporting.
It'll make us happy.
That's it. Happy, yeah. Thanks,
the Komen Foundation. Thanks so much. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck.
Appreciate it.
What a fun day. What a fun idea for the weekend. Hey, we'll do this again tomorrow, huh, Dave?
You betcha.
Thanks for being with us.
Tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.